Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast with Steve McNamee and me, Charlie Lambrix. We have an awesome podcast for you guys this time. This episode is great. Steve and I both ran the Glass City Marathon this past Sunday, April 25th in Toledo, Ohio. We ran it with pretty much all of our running buds in Toledo, as well as two running buds from Utah. They actually flew out and did the race. We recorded live the night before, and then we recorded live again together right after the race. I can't believe we did that, but it was a lot of fun. I think we got some really good stuff. My buddy Steve and Mel are on this one. So let's just throw it to that. Just remember, you can follow us on Facebook at Running Buds Podcast on Facebook. We're also on Strava at Running Buds Podcast. And we also love to talk to you all through email. So if you want to send us some feedback, email us at runningbudspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, enough with that. Let's get to this episode.
Running Buds.
Steve, I don't know what to say, do we? He's here, people. I'm touching Steve McNamee.
Wow, we're recording live. I can look at your phone and you're getting texts and...
I got to tell you, people, he looks great. Just amazing. This is wonderful. I am sitting in the McNamee household. We're drinking a beer. I had a margarita at lunch. I'm not being very... I had a margarita with lunch, not for lunch.
Yeah, okay, that's better. But you got caught up in the mood of the travel.
I'm being a bit naughty for the day before the race.
Yeah.
And this is the first ever time we've recorded in front of a live studio audience. It is Saturday night before the race. We are going to be racing in 12 hours.
There is so much hope. There is so much in front of us.
I'm terrified. I really, really put myself out there on the last episode. I then added some dramatic music back
PR,
in.
PR.
Yeah,
the and let's, PR. Let's hope not OR.
It's that's got me feeling a little nervous. My son sneezed into my mouth the other day, so I've got a little tickle in my throat, which is emphasized in between my ears. But we are doing live racing tomorrow.
Yeah, this is happening.
It's so weird to look into your eyes and talk to you right now. I gotta like look away.
Creepy, isn't it? Should we introduce anybody else?
Yeah, I was about to say, who's around the table?
This here?
We'll start with Leo.
Leo, my dog. My dog and my alias, when I tell stories about friends, they are Leo. I have very incriminating stories, so they all become Leo, because Leo is expendable. It's my true. Friends are not. And
your better half?
My wife. My supportive wife, who is coming out tomorrow and cheering me on for yet another marathon. It's always great to see her face.
What number marathon is this for you?
That's always such a complicated. How many have I started, or how many am I hoping to finish? I'm beginning marathon number 11 tomorrow. I'm hoping to finish marathon number 10. I'm often reminded by some friends that my clock is still ticking on the Boston 2019 marathon.
And Kelly, how many of these have you seen? How many of these marathons have you witnessed?
Oh.
Go ahead and count the one that he failed.
Well, I did not witness that one.
Yeah, she missed that.
I was home watching him not move.
That's why I probably failed.
That's right.
Yeah. My little guy just started running in place at the last...
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea how many of them I've seen. Oh, I have not been keeping...
We'll say eight.
I was shocked to hear that he's done. You've done 10.
Yeah, I think I honestly think you've only missed one local. So I think you've probably seen 8. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
My better half is still in Utah. I did not
here.
Stop it. I did not do this trip alone, though. Often mentioned on the podcast, Mr. Scott Daw is here with us. Tell him, why are you running Glass City Marathon, Scott?
So, well, first let me say, I get to finally meet my hero, Steve. So despite what they say, it's not as bad when you
finally get to meet your hero. Sorry to disappoint, yeah.
And like Steve, this will be my 11th marathon.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Last one I ran was New York, and I proposed to my now wife. That's how long
that's been. I forgot. I knew that story, and I forgot about that story. Yeah.
So back to Charlie's question. I don't take too much time, but
take all the time you want.
I wanted to run Austin in Austin, Texas Marathon again because they had pushed theirs back to April, and I said, Charlie, let's go run Austin. And he said, if I have to get on a plane and travel anywhere, I'm going home. And he said, I think Glass City's that weekend. I said, great, let's go to Toledo.
Toledo's wonderful this time of year, yeah.
So I've been, I don't know why, but I've been meeting other runners or people lately. And, you know, what is the first thing you ask somebody when you run with them for the first time? Are you training for anything? Mm. So I tell them, yeah, I've got a marathon coming up. They're like, which one? Where are you running? I said, Toledo, obviously. You know, Glass City Marathon. So we got another one here. We were able to then strong arm my other buddy, I think podcast legend already, Melchor.
Yeah.
The one, the only.
Melchor who pulled the trick that made the page, right? The Facebook page, the scared the crap out of Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
You know what? No, we didn't do
that. Oh,
that
did not? No. Oh, okay. We better quick.
I kept meaning to ask my wife if I could post that, because it's like our Ring doorbell, so it's just out our front door, and I just didn't ask her. But yeah, Mel snuck around the corner, and before a run, scared the bejeebies out of me for no reason other than to do it.
Just the joy of it, the sport of it. I enjoyed that a lot.
I only peed a little, though, so it wasn't that bad. No, I haven't shared that. Maybe I will. I've never asked for permission. Let me get that, and then we can share it. But Mel is running, and what's your plan for tomorrow, Mel?
Run fast and try to stay alive. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know how I'm always excited but nervous, and I just hope to do a good race and... hopefully I survive. I mean, that's my plan. I mean, I don't know. Just kidding. Pretty nervous here.
Well, yeah, when it comes to a marathon, I mean, how much can you plan? You know, there's... I have a friend who keeps saying that the marathon is 20 miles of hope and then 10K of truth. And that's...
I like that.
Yeah, that's about it. You get to the... anybody can run 20 miles and survive... well, not. Anybody running a marathon should be able to get to the 20-mile mark. But after that, it's... it's really when your dreams are either crushed or made, and
yep. And I'm just hoping to survive tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I definitely want to run my fastest, and I will do my best to try to accomplish that.
You have a great course to run the fast marathon.
Fantastic.
So yeah, I've done many. Charlie, how many Glass Cities have you done?
This will be my fourth Glass City full marathon. Yeah.
Okay.
It was my second ever marathon, the first one I ever properly trained for. The first time I broke 3 and qualified for Boston was here. And my current PR, which is hopefully only about less than 15 hours old left to survive, was here 5 years ago. So got a lot of good memories on this course. And I'm looking forward to it because I'm very familiar with every inch of this course. But I haven't seen it in 5 years, at least on a consistent basis. So I'm hoping the homecoming drive is what keeps me going and gets me across that finish line fast.
It's a friendly, friendly course. And yesterday at packet pickup, I ran into a friend I know, but he's also a TV meteorologist. And he, straight from the horse's mouth, he said that the weather will not be an excuse. So we have that going for us. Friendly course, so... all the pieces are in place.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the weather because I don't remember ever really looking at wind before moving out of Toledo. Because, it's always windy in Toledo, so you're just used to it.
Very true.
And then in Utah, it's a lot more open space. So 12, 13-mile-per-hour wind can be a real pain. And that's what is looking like the end of the course is going to be, but I keep trying to remind myself that that's something that I wouldn't have even thought about before.
But the end of the course is going to be a tailwind.
That's true. So we did see that as well.
You have that tailwind. I had one marathon at the end. It was in the last mile, and I looked down and my jersey was billowed out in front of me. Like, I had a tailwind. It was like the greatest feeling I've ever had at the end of a marathon.
You weren't sweating enough then if your jersey was.
Yeah, bad. You know what it was. It was soaked. It was great though. I mean, it was. That's how I just knew. I was like, I got this. You know, it was like the spinnaker sail on a sailboat that just pulling me along or pushing me, and I've always chased that feeling in marathons. And tomorrow, fingers crossed, we'll do it again.
One time, it was actually pretty recent, I was on a Strava segment, and we had like 25-plus mile-per-hour wind, and it just lined up perfectly that the wind was directly at my back. And this is a fast one. It was like almost just over 5 minute-per-mile pace for this stretch of segment. It's very, very fast. And I'm running as fast as I can because that's like my top speed, right? And the wind is directly at my back, and it was the most quiet and still weirdest feeling. And the thing is, when you run with the wind like that, especially this on a bike path, you just see people coming the other way, just like their faces all distorted and struggling against it.
And you're in a vacuum.
Absolutely, yeah. Surreal. That's the best way to describe it, a vacuum. So is anyone not wearing carbon-plated shoes tomorrow?
I'd definitely be running in the pink Vaporflies.
Pink Vaporflies.
Yeah. Gen 2, I think, is...
God, what year is this?
Mango, correct?
2000.
Oh, you're going pink.
Pink, yeah.
Whoa!
That's like, I think they're Gen 2. They're the three... They're still the two-plate, not the three-plate.
Okay.
That's pre-pandemic stuff right there, man.
I think I bought them just before New York.
So. Mel, what do you got?
I'm going to run with the Vaporflies. Alphaflies.
He's not messing around, baby.
The Alphaflies going all the way.
And you're a cheater shoe connoisseur.
Yeah.
And these ones you say are a whole new level, right?
Yes, they are. I run my 15K and I did feel like I did not run it after I was done. So I will definitely push myself.
That's a good sign.
Was this the Winter Series 15K?
The Winter Series.
That was a shameless plug, but...
The Salt Lake City Track Club Winter Series?
Yeah.
Which Scott Dahl happens to be race director of?
Oh. We had crappy weather conditions that day. So for him to have run it that well and not felt...
Yeah, we had 13 mile per hour wind and it ruined the whole day. So we're terrified. I was like, guys, I don't think I ever thought about the wind. I'm like, look at all these trees and houses. I think we'll be okay.
13 mile per hour winds will knock over our starting line balloons. It's dramatic out there. We run at the Saltaire, which is out in the Salt Flats.
Oh.
Right at the point of the mountain by the Great Salt Lake. So
yeah. Wow.
We catch a lot of like wind coming down through the north, lake effect stuff. So it can actually be pretty dramatic in its swirls.
A lot of momentum in the wind.
Yeah, when it was 2020, because it's so early in the year it happened, in February was the 10K, right? February 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, in the south and back, we had headwind both ways.
Like, that's called a top wind. That means the wind just coming from above you and you cannot get away from it.
But it's going to be fine tomorrow.
Are you wearing your free shoes that we conspired to... To get you? Or?
You really call them free when you win them?
you did pay a buck.
With my 12 $1 guesses, yes, I got my free cheater shoes. And I'm excited to wear them. I hadn't been planning. I was hoping to just have this be my swan song for non-cheater shoes, but I don't know that I'll ever be in this shape again, so... Putting all my chips on the table in this race and using the shoes that are forever going to be the standard going forward.
I almost feel the need to go get my shoes just because we can add a prop to the... I know for listening purposes.
This is an audio medium,
yeah.
Steve.
So we need a visual. Show the studio audience, though, because I got them ready to go.
All right, I guess I'll just fill time until Steve comes back. It's here in Pennsylvania, Ohio. Leo is now following him, so we're just dropping like flies. And the here mangoes. Are the... Those are not mango.
These are mango. These are known as mango.
Is it green
inside? I don't
know
if I would call them mango, because they don't look like a mango.
I'd say that's more of a salmon.
I would say that too, but if you ask Nike, these are mango. These have exactly 13.1 miles on them. I put them on sitting in the car right before a half marathon.
Was it a certified course?
Yeah, Todd
Germano. So it
was
over 13.1.
Yeah, Todd Germano always measures Churchill's accurately, but yep, there they are, all ready to go.
Did you get any free t-shirts from Todd today?
No.
All my Utah people are going back filled to the gills with Churchill's like half marathon t-shirts. And as you know, Todd prides himself on a quality race shirt.
So yes, he does.
We're going to be looking good. Scott said, I now have more Toledo gear than I have Salt Lake City running gear.
<You do. laughs>
So, so thank you, Todd.
Between the marathon and Churchill, I have more pieces of Toledo kit than I do Salt Lake City.
Well, good. And now you have a Glass City shirt coming up. That
I've got the bike jersey.
Can we talk about that? Holy shnikes! Oh my god! He came down. What was the first thing I said?
He said, "Did you pay money for that?"
Okay,
Dan, in my eyes.
I can tell what's going to be the picture for this episode.
I get another prop so that we can...
Oh, please. I just have to fill time here. I'm drinking a delicious Oberon beer. I don't think I can get this in Salt Lake City, so it was very generous of Steve to provide it. He even provided an orange in a chilled glass. Maybe chilled? Not chilled glass. Okay. Also, he doesn't have internet.
Okay. I do have to say that one of my superstitions is that you never put the race shirt on before the race.
Right.
And that is not a concern. And it probably won't even happen after.
All right, let's describe this. How many colors do we got? Just let's start there. I see black, blue, green, white, red.
Gray.
And gray.
Oh, there's a little...
And there's even like a... couple shades of gray.
Yeah.
So it's got the logo, which is...
Would you call it blue steel?
I don't know. It's got the logo, which is a very handsome logo. By the way, that bridge is nowhere near the race, though, that's in the logo.
Yeah, that's true. This,
I showed them the bridge, and they're like, oh, do we run over that? I was like, no, we don't even come close to it. I realize that's a logo. But really sharp logo, and then it's just got huge... 157 font, 26.2 off center, and then it's got another one on the back. So just the
even larger,
the sheer amount of color and the size of the 26.2 just screams.
Yeah.
Everybody, look! I run marathons.
Ask me about my running.
It is a bike jersey chic.
I tell you what, though, I get that PR tomorrow. I'm going to love it.
You're going to wear it with pride?
I'm going to love it.
I may as well.
I said we're all going to wear it on the plane ride home tomorrow
with
night.
With our medals.
There's only a couple live races. We got to get the full experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Mel, you committed? We're wearing this on the way home.
All right.
After
I'm
PR. All right.
This is the brand is Leslie Jordan, and it's a Cheetah Lattice is the model. So, if you want to find this on the internet, it's... Leslie Jordan brand, and Cheetah Lattice is the, I guess, the style.
I never knew that they were a sponsor, but thank you for...
Charlie, suddenly your jacket that we said is one of the worst all-time of Boston is one of the most attractive things in the room.
I still swear that the 2015 Boston Marathon jacket is not purple, but everyone tells me I'm wrong. It came out the same time that dress came out. Is it blue or white?
What are you seeing?
I see a very dark blue with a slight violet hue. People act like I'm Barney the effing dinosaur, though, over here, and I'm not, okay? I think the orange, not pink, stripes make it look
That's
a little
true.
More purple, but
I don't know if the soft
purple.
Lighting is helping, but it definitely has a very purple tint to it.
Yeah, this is a nice orange. Place, Steve. I like your house. Last time I was here, you hadn't had the renovation done. How long ago was that?
Oh, that you've been here? Or
I think it was a Christmas run. I want to say 2014 is the last time I've been here.
Yeah. Wow.
Been a while.
Yeah, we've...
Might have been 2015. Anyway.
I figured hardwood floors would help the recording. A little echoey, but...
Really ties the whole thing together.
Yeah.
And I think we've officially run out of things to talk about for this little segment for the podcast, but... Yeah, guys, we're gonna be racing, live racing, a marathon with thousands of other people in less than 12 hours. So,
and we've all tested negative because we had to.
Don't you kind of wish, like the pod people listening right now, just in seconds, our race is done. And they're going to find out how we did and how it's going. But we have all this tension, just this cloud over us.
Well, we're back.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked a lot of crap. Why'd you let me do that? I know I was on a roll. You tried to stop me.
A horse stepped on my foot yesterday.
Yeah, Scott legitimately had a horse step on his foot.
Heavens.
Yeah. The day before we left in Salt Lake, my horse planted right on my left foot.
Oh no!
So it's fine. It's fine. It's gonna be fine.
There's no horses in Salt Lake. There's no horses in Salt Lake.
My horse in Grantsville, Utah.
All right, people. Here around the table, Steve, Charlie, Scott, and Mel running the race. You'll get an update in seconds. Hopefully, we get some sleep tonight. Talk to you later.
Bye.
And we are back. What was seconds for you listeners was 12 hours, whole lot of pain, not much sleep, and a few complex carbs, and then some simple ones for us. So who wants to go first?
Well, I'll say we're eating pancakes. We have coffee, and we're drinking beer.
And that is not available at St. V's Toledo Hospital.
And we are, exactly, we are in a celebratory mood, wouldn't just, you say?
Mom, just ask for the syrup if you want it. Okay. We're eating pancakes. Oh, we've got a live audience.
Hey, hello! Okay.
Wonderful. So we're not at the hospital, so I'm looking around this table. I'm seeing two PRs, and I'm feeling one myself. Ring the damn bell. We did it.
Three PRs sitting at this breakfast table.
All right, Steve, tell us about your race.
My race, it was kind of, I'll say, right around mile 17 or 18, I had this realization that this is actually a very boring marathon. Like, nothing's happening. Like, I'm not coming apart. My mind hasn't gone into that dark place. And at that point, I even felt like, you know, I can do this. I can last another hour. And I kind of knew I had it there. But, nothing happened. It was, as marathons go, it was a wonderfully uneventful marathon. Very consistent. Splits were all spot on. And I, shooting for a 3:05, I ran a 3:04:38. So
hell yeah.
What more could I ask for? Thank you. Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Steve.
Thank you, Scott.
As for me,
as for Colin,
everything was going swimmingly. It was good to be back. Sorry, I'm eating pancake right now. Everything was going great. Beautiful course. It was so good to get back. Had a nice group around me. Things went really well. I was having this, I don't know if guilt's the right word, but going into the race, you know, us runners were so damn vain. We're thinking about what we're going to wear, you know, it's a big to-do. And I went with my Salt Lake City Track Club singlet, and I'm wearing my Utah hat, and I was feeling like I should be representing Toledo something. I had a revelation at mile 21. My Utah hat has the postal code for Utah, which is what, Steve?
it's a higher number than 43562. Oh, the postal code.
Postal, like, YouTube. Abbreviation.
Oh, that. I thought you were on the zip code. See what happens at your cognitive abilities post-marathon aren't. UT.
UT.
You wore that hat?
I wore this hat.
Wow.
UT is the acronym for University of Toledo, which is the campus we walked on. What is it?
It's not an acronym.
What's an acronym?
Radar. Or what it stands for.
It's the initials.
Scuba.
It's the initials.
It has to be a word.
My mom's an English teacher.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Thank you.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Wait, right. What is scuba?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
No shit.
Was that an episode of the Brady Bunch? I know that from some TV show, but...
Mom, if you're going to say something, you got to speak up, all right?
You're on the mic.
We're going to hijack your PR story, Charlie, but...
God. What was I saying?
So it stands for you, Utah.
Yes. I'm a UT grad in Utah. Where is this UT on my hat, Steve? It's in the Utah. State of Utah. How perfect is that?
What? So mile you had 20, this realization
so
during
mile
the race?
21, if you were watching the race around the mile 21 mark and you just saw somebody in a Salt Lake City track club go, huh, that was me.
I did see the bright light shoot up.
So. I was like, this is the perfect hat to wear. But it felt great. I just kept the arms pumping, and I crossed that finish line 2.5 minutes than I ever have before. I'm just, thank you. I guess nobody cares about my...
I was just winning you.
So, just elated, over the moon. I just, like I said in the last one, I really hammed this up beforehand, saying that I was going to do this.
A lot of talk.
So, I was getting real nervous about that in the past 12 hours. So
We do call him Charlie the Mailman Lambrix.
Yeah,
he always delivers.
Yeah, so, it felt good to PR. It's been 5 years and one day on this same course.
Wow.
And
congratulations to that, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And just elated. I love this town. I love this Roadrunners Club. I love...
Do you love cheater shoes?
I love Second Soul and Dave's.
Wow.
That's who I am. I am all 419 running, baby.
That is
And I absolutely loved it. And it was so great to do it here. Sorry if you heard the buzzing. That was just my wife. I hung up on her for you guys. that's how committed I am to this podcast.
So tell me about your cheater shoes.
They felt great. My feet don't hurt, which is strange for after a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say this just because it makes me feel better, that I don't think they made me run any faster. So I think I need to upgrade my cheater shoes. I'm going dark. I'm going all the way, baby.
Yeah, you're going to the vapor
alphas. Yeah, I'm going to have to... Can you buy those for me too, Steve? So yeah, but last but not least, we have Mr. Scotty Daw. Scott, how was your day?
My day was fantastic. And
let me interrupt you real quick. I want to say the first words out of Scott's mouth when I saw him post-race, standing next to my mom and dad. Mom, you want to say what
no,
it was?
No, thank you.
Dad?
No.
He, have you ever seen Major League? I believe Major League 2, actually. The Japanese guy that does...
Perhaps I have, but...
The thing, and he said, who wants to hold my big brass...
I said, I can't even walk because my balls
okay,
are big.
I can't even walk because my balls are so big.
Scott.
I don't know if that was a shaving issue that he was referring to.
A little calm, man.
But
little
he
calm,
ran
dude.
A PR, and he was over the moon.
Yeah. Scott, were you thinking this out on the course? Like, I think I'm going to get a PR. What can I say?
So, I actually... As I hit that moment that every runner has where you know, like I didn't know I was going to PR, but I knew I was going to hit my goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You have your ABC goals, whatever, and my first A goal is I want to break 250. I've been chasing that for about 3 years. So I thought, today's the day, I'm going to break 250. Didn't get it, that's fine. I'm just getting back sort of into the groove, so I said, B goal is going to be 255. My goal C is that I will.
It's a pun.
Unintended. But my C goal was just to crack 3 hours because I want to get back into this racing mentality.
This might have gone over my head. So seagull,
like the
that
bird?
Was funny. Like the bird.
The yeah.
Bird.
Beagle.
Oh, because we are a bird podcast. By the way, maybe not on the podcast, but we got to talk about Martins later. The bird. My parents got some in their yard. We'll get to that. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe we'll do some postcode on that. But okay.
So
back to Scott.
So I hit that moment where I knew I felt good. Like Charlie mentioned, I'm coming from elevation. It hurts, but I can do this. And the limiting factor was not like wasn't anything I couldn't was out of my control. I knew this was going to be a sub 255. I knew it wasn't going to be the 250, but I saw myself coming in, and I was like, this might be a PR. This still might be a PR. And I started going, God, I gotta collect my thoughts for the podcast.
Oh no!
So at about mile 23, I started going, right when you come out of the park and you make that left, I was like, I gotta start putting something down so I have something to bring to the table.
Nice.
So I want to go over one highlight for me, because this has never happened to me at this pace, at a marathon in general, and as someone who has been trained by Charlie to pace marathons, I had a group of 8 people with me, and I was the only one with a pace band, and I was calling out pace times as if I were pacing this group. And it was a textbook pacing effort through mile 21, and then I kind of blew up. But a lot of my runners went on to do 248s, 249s.
Excellent.
I want to shout out the We Run 313 group from Detroit. I ran with 2 runners there. Cool. They had a huge turnout of runners across all the events. Way passionate group. I was with 2 of them up until mile 21, and they were awesome guys. Great group, great energy. Pat Riley, I think it was his first ever marathon.
It was Pat Riley's first marathon.
Came in, and he had to have been, he beat me, so he must have been in the 251 margin. So
Pat Riley and I, we started in the same jersey, a white Dave's jersey, and by the end, we were not in the same jersey. Pat's jersey had turned red. And I will leave that to your imagination. Nipples. Yeah, he had a... Yeah.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah, rookie mistake.
I had a little bit going on, but white jerseys just don't work on marathons.
You don't put band-aids over your nipples?
I don't. I don't.
Why
like that.
Not?
Because I don't like pulling my hair off.
I don't either. Oh. Somebody did KT tape, though.
The bleeding is painless. Well, it won't be when I shower, but...
So can I go all Toledo cliche?
Yeah. Oh,
I did better in Toledo.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you're like a citizen already.
Oh yeah. I still can't believe you don't put band-aids on your nipples. Wow,
that's funny that Scott was trying to think of things to say for the podcast on the course, and the running buds were on the course.
Yes, that was such a boost. That was such a boost right around mile 20. Before that though, listener and I don't know if she listens, but one time guest of the show, Sherry Simon.
Yeah, maniac driver nearly killed me one time.
Yes, she pulled up on a bike right next to me and was just kind of keeping pace, and she says, P-R-E-R. I'm like, Sherry?
She's listening. Like, yep. She knows that. She's listening.
Yep.
Sorry, Sherry, you're a good driver.
You're just a reckless runner. Steve, not you, Sherry. You're a slice of heaven sent down to earth, Sherry. Because she got to that mile 20 about where you turn back into the park, and there was a little crowd there, and she said, Charlie Lambricks from the Running Buds podcast. And I was like, that's sweet. Then she yells, P-R-E-R. I'm like, that's really nice. And then right around that corner, there was a sign that said P-R or E-R. And I was like, hey, that's our slogan. That's our motto. And then next to it was our logo.
Our logo.
Yeah, the Running Buds podcast logo. Oh. So I saw that, and I was a big fan of ourselves and went, woo!
Yeah, that was my slowest mile. I stopped and took a selfie next to the picture.
So that gave me a big boost. So
that was exactly.
It had to have been Sherry that did it, right?
That was Sherry, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sherry.
She has a nice Facebook post about you guys, too. She had pictures of you and Steve.
Oh!
The sign.
Maybe she did almost kill you. That's just, she feels guilty or something. You think that might be it?
Oh.
So thank you to that. That was just so, so nice. And we just have one other person not here. He is not in the ER. And he didn't quite PR, but he did run a Glass City Marathon Masters record as of what was the record this morning. However, he was second overall Masters. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
That's what he said.
He missed it by a minute. Well, missed the first place Masters by 1 minute. Mm.
But rules are rules. He's fine. We took him to the hospital anyway. And so we'll probably get him in a couple hours.
Might have been for the butt whooping that he was going to
get. He protested, but then he did finally admit he understands. Rules are rules. So no Melcher for the follow-up. Okay, guys.
What was his time? He told me his time.
2:35 and some
yeah,
change.
Yeah, okay. That was what I thought it was. I didn't want to say, but 2:35 and change for in his age 43. Ah! Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Men amongst boys.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, gentlemen, one of the perks of running Glass City Marathon is you get a glass, and each of us has a ridiculously overpriced beer in each of ours. So maybe you can do a
clink right over top of our microphone.
Good job, boys.
All right, that's a PR clink.
All right, listeners, till next time.
Thanks for talking here.
Cheers.
Okay, first goat jumped ahead about 12 hours. Second goat, 6 days. 6 days later, Steve, how are you feeling?
Charlie, I feel fantastic. I feel like a new man. The hangover is past. And by hangover, I mean the soreness, the pain, the marathon buzz has slightly worn off, and now it is just a faded memory. I'm ready to look back fondly on what happened. How about you?
You're doing a lot better than me then.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm still hurting. My legs are sore.
You worked harder than me. I must have half-assed my marathon because I'm ready to go, but you're still hurting, huh?
Well, you had a 13-minute PR, so I don't think you half-assed anything. Yeah, I'm sore. I also got my shot number 2 on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So that might be throwing off the physical recovery a bit, but yeah, I'm sore. I've been running the past 3 days 4 or 5 miles each day, and it just hurts still. So, but I don't care. That's the great thing. I do not care. I ran a PR. This is all just recovery. I'm not dying. It's just proof that I gave as much as I could out there, which I promised to do. So I'm all right with that.
I did not give you enough credit for how well you did. Sunday was an overwhelming day with just so much of my friends' data coming at me. And it was just hard to process everybody's days, including my own day. I'm proud of my own day, but I said this, I think you weren't there at the time, but I was the slow one among my group. And that included me running a huge PR for myself, a 20-minute Boston qualifying. I was on 20 minutes below my Boston qualifier. And I was the slow one. So a lot of people had really good days, and it was just hard to process. But I did not give you enough credit. You did just fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was a good day. And, you know, listening back on recording just after, before yeah. and after, I really wish we never even brought up the wind, because it was such a non-issue. It did blow, but it's such a difference what double-digit wind feels like here in Utah versus Toledo, Ohio. Like, I noticed wind, but it was never even a factor. When you see double digit 12, 13 mile per hour wind, it kind of sucks here, but it was not a factor.
And, and you know, we've had this, like you said, 6 days to process these things. I'm amazed how many variables come into a marathon, every marathon. And this one last Sunday, almost no variable played a part. It was really almost like as close to running 26 miles on a treadmill as you could imagine. The wind didn't play a factor. The temperature didn't play a factor. There was just so many these outside factors that usually just can torture you, and none of them came into play. Did you agree with that sentiment?
Oh, it was gorgeous for running. I was pretty cold afterwards. Then I definitely noticed the wind, but yeah, no, we had a great race day. Weather-wise, just like your meteorologist friend predicted, no one could use weather as an excuse, and I don't think anyone is trying, because it was almost ideal.
Yeah, it was.
I did make some mistakes during the race that didn't come to fruition while I was stuffing myself with pancakes at your house. And I chafed worse in this race than any other race. Than all other races combined, maybe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was bad. Well, I did a couple things wrong. I broke what is the first rules of running a marathon when it comes to attire?
Well, you don't wear anything new, you don't try anything new. So what did
bingo.
You do? Yeah,
bingo. And they weren't new shorts, but they were shorts I had never raced in and probably never even done a long run in.
Oh, Charlie.
And,
no.
And this wasn't just out of the blue. I made this choice because we're gonna get real, give some real specifics here about Charlie's running stuff. I exclusively, until I bought these shorts about a year ago, wear the briefs,
yeah.
liners,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is still my preference, but I bought some online and I didn't even know that they were the different, I'll call them the biking shorts,
yes,
version.
Yes.
And I don't like those as much as I like the briefs. I like things controlled, if you will.
Your boy, more, you need a home, as they said on Seinfeld years ago. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But these particular shorts have the pocket right on your thigh in
yeah.
that biker short. And I think I said on the podcast prior, the episode prior, that I was thinking about wearing a fanny pack because I was concerned of how I was going to carry all my goo and take water bottles that I had to unscrew the cap on and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was concerned, and I thought, oh, these will be perfect. And they did work great for that. I was able to have two goos in each of them, another goo and a sleeve of chomp blocks in my bag zipper pocket. So I was carrying very well, and I really enjoyed that part of it.
That's a glorified fanny pack, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Concealed, though.
Concealed, but still.
I was going to lean into it, though. I was looking for like an 80s bright pink side of the hip fanny pack, but I didn't want to do that. Anyway, let's just say all sorts of my most sensitive areas were pretty well chafed. If you remember at your house, I immediately asked for a pair of shorts to change out of
those. I do remember that. I remember you being frankly honest in front of your mother as to what type of pain you were in. So there was no questioning that you made some questionable choices when it comes to attire.
Well, let's just say later things turned out to be much worse than I even thought.
Did you scab over?
No, but it's chafed,
okay.
You know. It's
yeah,
chafed.
I do.
Well,
that's funny.
I'm not done though. I didn't scab over there, but I made another mistake. I'm one of those people that keep my arms too close to my body when I run.
Yeah.
Or maybe my biceps and triceps are just so freaking big that I can't help it.
That's probably not true.
Or what are those muscles on your side? Lats?
I don't know. Trapezoids? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe all of mine are just too big because when I wear a singlet, that little stitching that goes up your side.
Yep.
That little bump that all comes together, you know, under your armpit.
Yes.
I can run and the bottom of my arm just gets raw. Get rubbed raw.
Everybody watching the video feed right now, I am nodding knowingly. Yes, I know exactly what you mean here. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have this issue as well?
I do. Yeah, for sure. That's That is one of those sneaky things that you get in a marathon.
And I can put Body Glide on there, but that's a area that also gets tremendously wet. So the Body Glide will wear off. I've put Band-Aids there.
Yeah.
I've made like a cross Band-Aid, and that's worked. But usually those end up falling off, and then there's less Body Glide available, so it gets really bad. So that's a common chafing issue I have during a race.
Yeah. Well, I thought, for our female listeners, Charlie did not say it gets moist.
Yeah, they don't like moist.
No, you can't say moist.
When I hear moist, I think of chocolate cake myself. So I don't know what's wrong with these ladies. Like moist. Anywho, so I thought I was really smart. I bought like the every kind and size of Band-Aid you can ever get in a package from Costco. It's from Costco, so you can only imagine the quantity and variety of Band-Aids I have at my disposal. And some of them they have are the big patch ones. Like, you should probably go to an emergency room if you need a Band-Aid this big size.
Yeah. And I asked one big question, though. Was it worth it?
Oh, no, you'll see. I take two of these nicotine patch size Band-Aids, put one under each arm.
Yeah.
In that spot, it is covered. But what ended up happening is that Band-Aid, it didn't have like the plastic back. It had like the more canvas like feel.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking can picture about? Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. The and woven type of
yes. Yeah, woven, yeah, thank okay. you. Yeah. And that tore the absolute crap out of my sides. I did not notice it during the race, luckily. So my usual tender area was completely protected, but that like stitched woven bandage, I have half moon crescents still that have scabbed over under each armpit.
Awful.
Oh, I didn't feel it during the race, and I've definitely felt that underarm get hot and know that that's going to be a situation, but so that happened. Oh, and then also I had a nice ring around my torso that those new shorts that I never really did a real long run in created. So I was pretty messed up, dude. I scraped and chafed and scabbed over all over.
That is funny. My only issue, and it's so far below yours, but it's self-inflicted and just strange, but at halfway of really any race, I usually wear a ball cap because number one, I'm bald, but I do like just having something over my head. But I'll turn my head around. It's like, okay, it's go time. So I'll flip my head around like, all right, let's do this. So I have the hat backwards, and I had it like angled at a point where it was rubbing on my back, like on my upper shoulder, and it kind of wore a hole through the skin. So I still have a big scab there, which is just pure stupidity, but that's nowhere near the tender areas that you're describing. So I thought I had done something stupid, but not that yours was stupid, but
yes, it was of
more significance.
Steve, what is this nice guy routine you're doing lately? Mine was far more stupid. I made
mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. But mine was preventable. I did not need to turn my head around as some sort of affectation like, okay, it is go time.
at yours least you didn't was throw it on
necessity. You need to wear shorts, and you made some bad decisions. But yes, mine was just dumb.
Yeah, at least you didn't throw your hat on the ground like Galen Rupp does every single race. But hey, it's worth it, though. I would take all these scrapes and soreness. I found out my two-story work has an elevator, and I did, in fact, use it a few times this week.
Oh, my heavens. You were in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah.
Okay.
I've never run that fast for that long before, and I felt all of it. It's
so
also,
if I may,
Yes, please.
We had happy days, Charlie. These pains that linger, they are reminders of the happy day that we had 6 days ago.
Absolutely.
So as you said, it was worth it in some ways, and in other ways maybe not at the moment, but I think we earned our pain. Well,
in every way it's worth it. Yeah. It's been a long time, 5 years and one day since I was able to PR. I was convinced at moments that I didn't have it in me anymore, especially after dropping from the Dallas Marathon only a couple years ago. And even going into that night before, I still had some doubts. In spite of all the bravado I provided on the podcast, I still had that lingering doubt. Even mile 25, when I hit that 25-mile marker, I was like, I could still get a terrible cramp and end up limping in. So let's not start patting yourself on the back. So
I love that we can be our own worst enemies, but it is really up to us at the end of the day that it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. I mean, it's all this work. It's all this focus. It's up to us to perform when the chips are down, but we can still, among all of that, be our own worst enemy. And it's great when you can overcome it.
Yep. The only thing even worse than the chafing, worse than the soreness, the only thing that after the race was like, oh man, this sucks. The closest to saying was this worth it was the flight home, because I flew home that night. Oh, we had a layover in Chicago also. So yeah. Getting on a plane, getting off a plane, and then getting back on one, as you know, layovers work.
Yeah.
I thought maybe like, because it's always like around 4 hours from Detroit to Salt Lake City. I thought it would be like way less from Chicago, but it was still like, it was maybe like 3 hours, 50 minutes. And I cannot sleep on a plane. My legs hurt. I was very warm. So it was just brutal. But
it was like a flying hospital. Yeah.
Yes. I it was necessary though, because I wanted to get in on Thursday and really be relaxed and be okay with travel getting delayed or whatever. And I didn't want to go another day without getting back home. So in the end, it was all worth it.
Yeah, my last postscript admission is the fact that Sunday after the race, I bled from one of my nipples. I was chafed, not as seriously as you were, but I had the opportunity to take a shower Sunday. I declined. I was just going to be too painful. So I put it off till Monday morning.
Oh, God, and, you're gross.
I know. Isn't that disgusting? Yeah. It's awful. I know. Monday, I took a half shower where you start at the back of the shower and you let the water hit your knees. And, you know, you kind of work your way in.
There's so many areas. Yeah, well, there's so many areas of my body that actually hadn't been touched directly with a washcloth.
It was Tuesday before like water like struck everywhere, and I don't even know that I got a full washing then. So that is my admission. That is my my opening of the veins, and I'm putting it all out there. That's all I've got to give on this marathon. Is gave everything I got, showered probably what 2-3 days later, and I guess ready to get started again.
We have one more thing to discuss before we get to the songs this week. And you've been so darn nice tonight. I almost feel like not doing this, but, you know, I can't help it.
All right. Let's hear it.
I'm going to say you talked a little smack post-race via the social medias. By the way, you can find us on Facebook at Running Buds Podcast. We're also on Strava at Running Buds Podcast. One of our good fans and former guests of the show, Jeff Sperlin, asked, so who won our bet or wager, which I don't totally remember us making. And, you remember your response?
I do not, Charlie. I remember
you said you won by a mile.
Oh, I don't think I said that.
You said something about a mile and winning, so I think that's the expression, how it goes. You won by a mile.
Oh, I
and you did. Then you PR'd. Well, the question was who PR'd by more. I don't remember this being a bet, and you did. You PR'd by over 10 minutes faster than I did.
Okay,
you said over a mile.
With a clear mind now, although I have. It is Saturday night. I've enjoyed my Saturday night, but that Sunday, I believe the first beers were opened before 11 o'clock.
It was pretty early. We ran 20 miles.
We had pancakes, we had sausage, we had coffee, and we had IPA with breakfast. So what I meant to say is that Charlie did very well, and Charlie won by over a mile. So if I didn't come off that way, PUI. I committed a PUI, posting under the influence, and you had just a fantastic race. And I know I'm sounding nice here. I will get back to my more cynical ways.
How am I supposed to stick the dagger in now?
Stick it in. Okay. You know what though? All right. In some ways I did so much better than you, Charlie. I PR'd by more than you.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a great day for us both. It was a great day for many of us. And we both are very happy with our Sundays last week. So comparison is the thief of joy. So I had my day. You had your day. We are running buds that are in a good place, right? That's about the best I can say. Yeah.
Yes. I was hoping I could be more upset with you and you'd be a little more cocky, but I plugged us in to the age graded percentages, which in your own words are the best way to compare individuals. And I just barely edged you out. It was really close.
Did you? Oh,
yeah, no. It was close. Yeah.
Oh, no,
close.
I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
I from what I understand, I'm a 74%, which is up from a 66%, which I gained 8%.
Yeah, and I was
graded. But you must have been. Where were you?
75.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, I was close.
Son of a bitch. All right. So that takes away any smack talk possibility I had that I can't beat you in even age graded. So, well, okay.
I've got you on the nerd calculator.
All right. That's okay.
I think
we do
now would be a good time. Yeah. Let's do songs. I'm sure you're going to follow suit here. Just wanted to thank my parents for hosting us. I want to thank Scott and Mel for, joining the podcast and coming all the way to Toledo.
I got to meet your friends. I love those guys.
A lot of fun. Good.
Oh my gosh. It is so you hear these names and you see these people online and you just think, I mean, they're just runners to you at that point. And then to meet them in person, your friend Mel and Scott, just the coolest guys. And runners are runners are runners. Everywhere you go, I've met runners all around the country, and they're the coolest people, and your friends are no exception.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome that they came to Toledo. I mean, Toledo gets is the butt of the jokes more often than it deserves, but in the end, these guys decided to get on planes and convince their wives to come as well, all the way to Toledo from Utah to do some live racing. So, that was really cool. Big shout out to Clint for pulling this off. There's a Boston couldn't do it. Cincinnati's not doing it. Salt Lake City's not doing it. Almost no one that has a spring race is doing it this spring. But Clint and the Toledo Roadrunners and everybody involved made it happen, and they even were blessed with good weather for doing so. So. Thanks to all those people. And then last but not least, with this PR, I do want to thank my wife and my son and my little family unit for putting up with all the time and miles.
Wow.
And you've got a pretty good support system as well, Steve.
I do, sure. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm very glad that your friends and everybody that came from Utah had the opportunity to meet me. That makes me very happy that they had that chance. That was me being cocky, Charlie. Didn't react. My wife was fantastic. After I threw out there to many people, if you feel like coming by after the race, please do so. That's usually an empty invite, and everybody took me up on that, as it turns out. So we had a house full. I was pleasantly surprised what a house full I had for such a large part of the day. And my wife just stepped up. She made breakfast for the early comers.
Pancakes.
Oh my gosh, weren't they great? Sausage, pancakes, coffee. Oh, it was a great day. But yeah, that was, I have to give a huge shout out to my wife for, just stepping up big time, to all these runners that came by and just shared war stories, for hours on end. And runners can talk to themselves to death when it comes to running, just running a marathon and recounting the stories. So fantastic. Absolutely. Love her to death.
All right. Let's end this one. Yes. We each have a song. You decided that we both PR'd. We deserve a song. I asked Scott if he wanted a song, and he picked one. So I'll start with his.
Yeah.
His makes no sense from a running perspective or otherwise. The only thing I can think is this song just kind of happened to pop up on my Spotify playlist as I was driving all over Detroit and Toledo in my mom's car, and that is Jay and the Americans, Come a Little Bit Closer. I do remember at one point the entire car kind of singing along to that.
Awesome.
I don't know if that was stuck in his head or what, but it kind of encapsulated the weekend for him. So Jay and the Americans, Come a Little Bit Closer was Scott's pick.
Nice.
What's your pick, Steve?
I went with it's a song from one of my favorite bands. It's an old song now. It's over 15 years old. Arcade Fire, the very first song on their very first album, is called The Neighborhood, Part One, Tunnels. And there's a phrase at the end of the song that just really encapsulates a lot of what I had running through my head. The guy that made my plan, I texted him later on. I just said, "You are an alchemist for turning me into from lead to gold." And the song itself, the last verse of the song has to go just perfect. I gotta quote it. "You changed all the lead sleeping in my head to gold. As the day grows dim, I hear you sing a golden hymn. It's the song I tried to sing. Purify the colors, purify my mind, purify the colors, and spread the ashes of the colors upon this heart of mine." And I love that phrase, and it was perfect for the marathon on Sunday. So my song is Tunnels by Arcade Fire.
Man, I wish I picked my song before you. I don't know the artist, but I'm going with Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangsta. I don't think there needs any commentary.
That's the Ghetto Boys, bro. You don't know the Ghetto Boys?
I know Office Space. That's all I know. All right, yeah, that is Ghetto Boys. Ghetto Boys, Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, Arcade Fire.
Parental Advisory, by the way. That is one.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, get your kids out of the room. The last verse is a little rough. If you're used to the Office Space version, it gets a little raw.
All of these songs can be found on our Spotify playlist. If you just look up Running Buds episode music, there's a link in the description as well. You can get it there. But you're a gangsta, Steve. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, all right? We are the Running Buds.
Oh, yes,
send us an email. RunningBudsPodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to a 5K.
Running Buds.